What do you think of when we mention the word justice? The shorter catechism, question 4, asks, what is God? The answer is, God is a spirit, infinite, eternal and unchangeable, in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. And there are 24 questions that make up the shorter catechism. And number 19 is, what is the justice of God? And the answer is, the justice of God is his essential property, whereby he is infinitely righteous and equal, both in himself and in all his dealings with his creatures. And there you have that great question asked by Abraham. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Capital J. This is the first mention of a judge in the Bible, and it's God. The first mention of a judge in the Bible, and it's God. So that sets the standard as we read through the scriptures. He is the King of Kings, he is the Lord of Lords, he is the Judge of Judges. Of course, it's a rhetorical question. The answer to that is yes, he will do right. How Abraham felt in comparison as he was conversing with the judge of all the earth. He says in verse 27, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. That's how he felt. Just something common, worthless, dust and ashes. He is the judge of all the earth. And I think this should give us great comfort. We know that throughout our lifetime, we live in a society where there are those who seemingly have got away with crime. Some have got away with serious offences. There are those in America on death row, and maybe they're innocent. And the person who committed the crime has walked the streets free. Even in our own country here, there are terrible atrocities that have happened in the 1970s and so on. Security forces being murdered, and bombs that killed and maimed and so on. And the perpetrators have never been caught. And there's something within the old man that just loves revenge and would love to have and to take great pleasure in personal revenge. But we are to leave these things, because God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And he repays in his own time and in his own way. And one thing that comforts me is this, that in the history of this world, no one at any time, anywhere, will get away with anything. No one at any time in this world's history, anywhere in the world, will get away with anything. And I think we just have to leave things there, because he is the the judge of all the earth, and he will get everything right. And there's sufficient scripture to show us that he will get everything right. And everyone will receive their due reward. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? I want to say this is a rhetorical question that can have only one answer. Yes. Of course the judge of all the earth will do right. That is the only thing the judge of all the earth knows how to do. He is morally incapable of doing anything less than what is right. Again, this is one of the communicable attributes of God, because there are those whose profession is in the courts. They are judges, and they can only go on what they have, from the evidence that's supplied in a case, from the solicitors, from the barristers, from witnesses and so on. And then the judge has to make a decision if the person is innocent or guilty. They don't always get it right. And we know that because they are limited beings. I think those who are QCs in our British establishment, those who are judges, it must be one of the most accountable professions to be in. As Romans 13 verses 1 to 5 say, again, well-known verses where these things are concerned, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. And a sword's not just for slapping round the wrists. A shirt's not. For he is the minister of God, our avenger, to execute wrath unto him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. And it's awful to see where people can be in court, and even for serious crimes, and to them it's just a bit of a laugh, you know. You know, they're going to get sent to prison for some months, and prisons are comfortable places now. Now you can come out highly educated from prison. The government will pay all your fees. Even to degree level. And there are hobbies and interests. Where is the justice to meet the crime today? But the reason why we have justice is because God exists. Earthly courts get things wrong at times, but God will never get anything wrong. He is the judge of all the earth. There are judges who live in certain towns and cities, and they will go to the local court or whatever, and that's where they preside. That's where they are. That's where they're based. They can't speak for any other city or town or country in the world. But God is the judge of all the earth. All the earth. And in his providence, he has established within society courts and laws that we may abide. If we break those laws, then, according to these verses, we have to pay the price. But if we live on the right side of the law, then we are free and we're fine. But God always gets it right. Yes, always. His judgments are and will ever be unquestionably, incontrovertibly, unassailably right and just. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 3 and 4. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, or all his ways are justice. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. There are those places in the world. I particularly think of maybe the Prohibition period in America, the 1920s, 1930s. Chicago, Al Capone, all the gangsters and all at that time, you know. They were bribing chiefs of police and judges. They were bribing them. Chiefs of police and the judges were on the payroll of the gangsters. And in the likes of those cities at that time, it would have been difficult enough to find a judge that was honest. I've read of these things just in history. And if you had a case to bring against any of these gangsters, you really hadn't a hope. They were corrupt, as the criminals were. But look at this description of the judge of all the earth. All his ways are our judgment. His work is perfect. He is a God of truth and without iniquity. You can't bribe him. Just and right is he. And whenever this world has run its course, and we read towards the end of the world, or at the end of the world, and all shall stand before God, that great picture of Matthew 25, when all the nations shall stand before the throne of God, shall stand before the judge of all the earth, and the sheep on his right hand representing the believers, the goats on his left hand representing the unsaved. In any individual's life, there's not going to be a miscarriage of justice, because the judge of all the earth will do right. Nobody will be able to appeal. Nobody will be able to say to that judge, you've got it wrong. The judge of all the earth will do right. And Revelation talks about the same judgment as at the great white throne. The great white throne, the judgment will be so just and righteous that no one will be able to question them, not once in the billion and billions of times that human beings will appear before him. In every individual's life, the judge of all the earth will get it right. There are those who have died and those who have got away with terrible crimes. There have been Nazi war criminals who dispersed after the Second World War. I would have an interest in these things and reading biography and so on a wee bit. Who dispersed to different parts of the world, took on a new identity, a new name. Some were never caught. Pursued maybe by Simon Wiesenthal and other Nazi hunters, you know. But some of them were never caught. Lived to a lovely old age, comfortably in South America or somewhere like that. Died. Took their secrets to the grave. There may be secrets on this side of the grave, but there are no secrets on the other side of the grave. Because they have stood before the judge of all the earth. They have been consigned to hell, to the intermediate state of hell before coming to appear at the end of the world before the great white throne judgment. Judgment day. As somebody has coined it, judgment day will be payday. Psalm 97 verse 2, clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. And one has said, when the roll of the decrees and the books of the divine providence shall be opened, no eye shall there discern one word that should be blotted out, one syllable of error, one line of injustice, one letter of unholiness, of none but the Lord of all this, of all can this be said. I love those verses in Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and the 24. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. The Lord doesn't delight in man's wisdom and man's striving after a wisdom that's without God. He doesn't delight in might. He doesn't delight in riches. He delights in these things that a person understands and knows him, has a personal relationship with him, and is conscious that the Lord exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. The righteous will not go unrewarded, and the wicked will not go unpunished. Might seem that way at times. Oh Lord, it's just this personal revenge thing within me, you know. But no, he's the judge of all the earth. We leave things with him. Psalm 9:16, the Lord is known by his justice. 11 verse 7, for the Lord is righteous, he loves justice. Somebody has defined justice. Justice is when God works out what belongs to whom and makes sure that they get it. Because vengeance is his. There's Psalm 10, verse 14 says, Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite, to requite it with thy hand, or to repay it. The poor committeth himself unto thee, thou art the helper of the fatherless. Verse 16 says, the Lord is king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of the land. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress. Certain parts of the world where the poor are suffering, maybe because of injustice, maybe because of rich, greedy landowners and so on. The judge of all the earth will do right. He will uphold the poor. He will judge those who oppress them. Romans 12 and 19. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. As it is written, vengeance is mine, or it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. And this is a God who sees all. You know, we bring other things in here. There's a lot of things that's done in secret, that's done in the dark. But God sees. God is there. God is a witness. God sees all. God knows all. God's not going to forget anything. He's not going to forget any piece of detail. And he's going to bring everything to justice in his own time. And one has said, we can accept that there are limits to the justice that we can know here and now. But ultimately things will not be right until Jesus returns and judges the world. So there is immediate justice now. We have our courts. People can be taken to court. People can pay the price. There's immediate justice. But there are those who get away with things, or who may even appear at a human court and yet get off lightly. But we must get our eyes on that ultimate justice, when all shall stand before that great white throne. Louis Berghoff, in his Systematic Theology, talks of God's justice in theological terms. He talks about rectoral justice, remunerative justice, and retributive justice. Those are the three words that he uses. But just to simplify that, rectoral justice, and that just simply means that God's justice is good. That's all that means. The late R.C. Sproul of Ligonier Ministries says, we may see non-justice in God, which is mercy, but we never see injustice in God. We may see non-justice in God, which is mercy, but we never see injustice in God. He is the lawgiver. As Psalm 99 says, and I see that we'll be singing Psalm 99 at the end of the service. Verse 4 says, the king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. He does what is just and right. The judge of all the earth can do nothing but right. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? He's never going to do anything wrong. So that's rectoral justice. That's the word that Louis Berghoff used. That God's justice is good. But God's justice is generous. He's going to reward. As that great scene of Matthew 25, verse 34, he's going to say to the sheep on his right hand, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." What a reward that is. In the simple things of life, I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked, you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, you came unto me. And the righteous will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and fed you thirsty and gave you a drink?" Then the king will say, "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." You know, the Christian life is a life of good works. We're not saved by good works, we're saved for them. And whenever we show kindness to people, it could be just simple things, everyday common things. You mightn't always be thanked for them by the person, but you keep doing them anyway, because the Lord says, you know, "You're doing it unto me." What words to hear in that day. I have a sermon on this passage that I preached years ago. And I called it, or my 2 points were simply, you know, the greatest words that a person can ever hear will not be in this life. It'll be on this day when the Lord says to you, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And then on down, of course, we read, "Well done." Or up above that, actually, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. What words to hear. And what's going to be the most tragic words, the worst words that a human being will ever hear? It will be what is said to the unsaved, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Well done, good and faithful servant. Those are well-known words, aren't they? If we hear of a faithful believer who has died, oh, they've heard the "well done." Well done, good and faithful servant. And as somebody just mentioned to me in conversation some time ago, and was just talking along these lines, just thinking of some Christians, you know, who profess to be Christians, but, you know, you never see them at a prayer meeting. And they're maybe out of church once on a Sunday morning. Are they going to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? And you think of others who have given up a comfortable life and have gone to the mission field and living up the jungle somewhere, living a life of destitution almost just to bring the gospel to the people who have never heard it. they will hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I think of some Christians when, you know, when I was in the church professing Christians, just out on a Sunday morning, never at a prayer meeting. I just wonder at times their commitment to hear "well done." And this person said to me, "You know, you'll only hear the well done if you've done well. You'll only hear well done if you've done well. Good and faithful servant." These are the words of the judge of all the earth, the one who will do right, the one who will reward. God's justice is good, rectoral. God's justice is generous. It's remunerative. God's justice is grim. It's retributive. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8, or verse 7 says that when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. God's justice is good. It's generous, but it's grim for those who are unsaved. And I'll say this last quotation here: justice manifests itself especially in giving every man his due, in treating him according to his deserts. The justice of God. He is the judge of all the earth. He will get everything right with everyone for everything that has ever been done by them. And so that takes the sting out of personal revenge, just to leave it all with him. And someday he will get it all right. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts.